Dads like to talk a lot about building character. You've probably had a conversation with your son, or your father probably had a conversation with you about something that built character. For example, I heard this one. A father said, "Yesterday I was washing the car with my son." "Gee, Dad," the son said, "can't we just use a sponge?" "No, son, this builds character." Pick him up and, you know, wash the car. In the comic strip Calvin and Hobbes, Calvin's father, if you were a fan of that comic strip, Calvin's father was always talking to his son about building character and doing things the hard way. And Calvin complains, for example, one winter that all the other kids, their father has a snowblower, but Calvin had to use a shovel to shovel the snow. And his father said, "You know, well, it'll build character." In another instance, his father told him, he said, "Try this food, you might love it." And Calvin said, "Well, what if I don't love it?" And he said, "Well, it'll build character." And there's one comic strip where Calvin walks into his father's study, and he has dressed up to look like his father. And he walks into the study, and his father's sitting there, and he walks in and he says, Calvin says this. He says, "Calvin, go and do something you hate. Being miserable builds character." But you know, dads are right to focus on building character. There was a Stoic philosopher by the name of Epictetus who said this about life. He said, "Don't you know that life is a military campaign? One must serve on watch, another in reconnaissance, another on the front line, and so it is for each person's life, which is kind of a battle, and a long and varied one at that." He said, "You must keep watch like a soldier. You have been stationed in a key post, not some lowly place, and not for a short time, but for your entire life." So on this Dads and Grads Sunday, I want to speak to men in particular, but these words will also speak to the women who are present, because women value men who see that life is a battlefield and they don't run from it, but yet they're willing to face the danger, who instead face life with hope. And it's a hope that is made possible by the power of the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ in us as men of faith. Now, that sounds like a religious platitude, I know. That when I say a hope that is made possible by the power of the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ living in us as a men of faith, that sounds like a religious platitude, something a preacher would say. But we're going to unpack that today so we'll know what that means for the Holy Spirit to be living in us through Jesus Christ as men of faith, so that we can become men of hope and not men of defeat in the world. And the world needs men of hope. There's plenty of defeatists in the world. The world needs men of hope in our time. But let's begin with this. And this goes back to what Epictetus said and what Calvin's father said. One of the foundational understandings of life in almost nearly every world religion, including Christianity, is this. And that is, life equals suffering. Life equals suffering. And this baseline is the baseline of our existence. Suffering and struggle. Every one of us face the day with suffering and struggle. So pain is the standard. We all have these drives and ambitions, and they're fulfilled, and then as soon as they're fulfilled, we're empty again, and we strive and we struggle again. And there's this constant craving and fulfillment that we go through life. And in the meantime, bad things happen, even to good people. Sickness, disappointment, loss. So struggle is at the center of life. So fathers are right to say you need to build some character, or that difficulty will build character in life, because that is at the center of life, that life is struggle. And the sooner we recognize that about life, the sooner we can meet life head on, because we can stop expecting life to be easy, and we can anticipate struggle. And when we do that, men, when we start anticipating that life will not be easy, and expect the struggle, something liberating happens. You would think it would be just the opposite. You would think it would bring you into a life of defeat, but it can be very liberating. Because now you stop condemning and judging life. And instead you start affirming life. And instead you find that in spite of the struggle, in spite of the suffering, and the loss, and the prospect for even more loss, that life can be surprisingly full of joy. It can be surprisingly full of ecstasy and full of fulfillment. And that fulfillment and that joy and that ecstasy are possible because the Holy Spirit lives in us. The difference between a man of hope and a man of defeat is the presence of the Holy Spirit and your opening to allow the Holy Spirit to work victory in your life. So how does this Holy Spirit work in the life of a man to transform you into a man of purpose and no longer a man of defeat, to turn you into a man of hope? Well, here's the truth about men, and women already know this, but sometimes men need to hear this about ourselves. Men, we are both raging chaos and calm and order. We're this mixture of chaos and order. We're a mixture of instinct, but we're also a mixture of reason. We are power and we are love. And in the right balance, chaos and order and instinct and reason and power and love, in the right order, a man can produce a beautiful marriage, can produce a wonderful family, can build a wonderful life, to find that balance between that chaos and that order, and that power and that love that live within us. But we have to realize and understand how to harness the power of Christ, the power of the Spirit, who is the one that finds that balance within us, that balance of chaos and of order, so that our lives can be put to good purpose. In fact, we as men are a microcosm of the universe. Because all creation is this interplay of chaos and order, and of instinct and of reason. In fact, in Genesis, in the beginning of the world, we find the Spirit of God, or the power of order, or of reason, of creativity, of purpose. That Spirit of God we find is floating over the void. The very first sentence says, in the beginning, we find that the power of God, of order, is hovering over the chaos, this hovering over the potential of the universe. And then God speaks, and the Spirit enters into the chaos, and there's a new creation that begins to form. And that creation continues to form today. The Spirit continues to enter into the chaos. The Spirit continues to enter into the chaos of your life, into the chaos of your mind-body relationship. And ever since then, there's been this dance between chaos and order. So we as men are partners in that dance. We are chaos and we are Spirit. Paul says this in our text today. He says that God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So our chaotic lives, in which we constantly encounter struggle and suffering, are yet infiltrated and bathed in the Holy Spirit. And because of this, we have the ability to create a life of goodness, a life of beauty, a life of excellence and love out of these old carcasses of ours. So even as we struggle each day with demands and disappointments of life, we can find joy and peace. And even though we feel tired and defeated and worn out, Paul says the powerful presence of the Holy Spirit offers us hope, so that we can become men of hope. God wants to build you into a man of hope, not a man of defeat, not a man of resentment, not a man of anger, because defeated and resentful and angry men are not in a position to achieve what God wants for their lives. And what God wants for their lives is to live for His glory and to live for producing good and producing excellence and producing love in the world. Whether it be through you doing excellent work in your vocation, whether it means producing a beautiful marriage or a wonderful family or pouring yourself into your community, whatever it is, if you are a man of defeat and anger and resentment, you cannot achieve what God wants you to achieve because your life is still churning in that chaos. But the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, infiltrates the chaos, embeds in our lives, and can begin to create order and direction and purpose in that life so that the anger and the resentment fall away. And even as we struggle each day with demands and disappointments of life, we can find glory and peace and joy. So God wants to build us into men of hope and not of defeat. But becoming a man, Paul tells us, a man of hope, doesn't happen by magic. It doesn't happen by a miracle. It doesn't happen by the snap of a finger. Our hope and our transformation into a new creation requires a new mindset and a new approach toward life. And Paul describes the process in this way. He says, "We also glory in our sufferings." There, that's that acceptance of that life is not going to be easy. "We glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope." So that's a process. That takes work. That develops over life. I'm not the same man who faces struggles today that I did when I was 17 or 18. I've learned a little bit more about dealing with struggle. I'm not there yet. I still lose my temper. I still get impatient. But I face things a little differently than I did 25, 30 years ago. I'll give you an example. Last Saturday, we were on the highway. We're I-65 driving up to visit my daughter. Ran into traffic. Imagine that, on I-65. Ran into construction. It was stop and go for a while, stop and go, stop and go. And then finally, for a while, it was just stop. And we were sort of sitting there and just, you know, biding time. And we were fine. And then all of a sudden, we felt this kaboom from behind us. It wasn't a serious kaboom, but it was a kaboom. So I just get out of the door and take a deep breath and look around. And sure enough, there's a guy hit the back of the car. But you know what? Insurance is going to take care of this. We're good. So walk back there. You know, do you do the civilized thing? You exchange information. And he said, "I just want to let you know I don't have any insurance." I'm like, "Here we go." And he said, "I got my son in the car and I really need to get him to the next exit." And I'm thinking, "Well, I really need to find out who you are first before you head up the road." So I said, "Well, do you mind if I see your license?" And he said, "Yeah, sure." And so he pulled out the license and said, "Do you mind if I take a picture of your license?" And he said, "No." So I took a picture and I said, "Do you mind if I take a picture of your tags?" He said, "No, go ahead." So I took a picture of the tags. And so I get he goes on down the road. You know, it's not like I can't, you know, put my arm around until police get there. I couldn't. Some of you probably could, but I couldn't. So I start looking at the picture, and I look at a license, and it says expired April 2019. I'm thinking, great, he doesn't even have a valid driver's license. Well, when the police get there, normally you wouldn't call the police in a little thing like that, but I thought, this guy doesn't have any insurance, valid license. So police show up, state police, and they do all their things. He comes back, and you know, he hands me all the information. He said, "I just want you to know, he doesn't have any insurance, his license is expired, and by the way, his tags are expired as well." So I thought, I am never going to see a dime out of this guy. 25 years ago, I would have been very upset. I was still disappointed. But through no power of my own, but through a few decades of the Holy Spirit working in my life, the Holy Spirit says, you know, it's all okay. And it's going to be okay. Now that's a minor fender bender. Taking that into other sufferings and other disappointments in our life is the work of the Holy Spirit, bringing order into the chaos bringing reason into our natural instinctive way that we want to respond, and building beauty out of the ugliness that life can be. And so Paul says, here's your life work, men. Your life work is to not judge and condemn life because of your sufferings, but even to glory in your sufferings. Come to expect them, because in suffering it becomes perseverance or endurance, durability. All that comes from that sense of perseverance. We become durable. And he says, out of that durability and out of that perseverance comes character. And character, that word a character is an etching in, and originally it was an etching in a body, like a tattoo, you might say. an etching in a spiritual sense, an etching in the soul. You begin to have character. There's an etching in your soul of how the Holy Spirit has formed you in your responding to suffering and to disappointments and into loss. And over time, that engraving becomes who you are. The Holy Spirit is creating an engraving of your life. That's your character. And think of when we think about the word character. We think of the word somebody who's reliable. Somebody who has character is someone who is reliable, or someone who has developed a reputation. We see them in a certain way. Or sometimes we use it in a way that, you know, boy, isn't he a character? But it's the same thing. He's etched. He's eccentric. He's sort of etched a different. He's blazed another trail. But it's that etching of how he's responded to life. And in fact, being a person of character should make us a little eccentric, because we're no longer part of the herd. We're no longer part of the crowd, because the herd and the crowd, they don't like suffering. They don't like that path that gets to hope. And they would rather medicate themselves away from suffering, or entertain themselves out of dealing with suffering. And there's a lot of men who will either medicate themselves with their drug of choice, or they will educate, or they will entertain themselves, amuse themselves with their entertainment of choice, so that they don't have to face and deal with this character building work that life requires of us if we're to become men of hope. And that's what Paul says happens at the end of the journey, at the end of this process. And it doesn't mean on our deathbed. It means at each time that we're building character, we develop into a man of hope. And a man of hope says, all is well, and all will be well, even when you feel like a boom. Even when the doctor says, you know, I got some bad news for you. Even when you get a phone call and it's bad news. Even when the employer says, you know what, production's down, sales are down, we got to let you go. Paul says, don't hide from that. Don't run from that. Don't be defeated by that. But instead, he says, in a sense, he says, glory in that, because you will become stronger on the other side. Wow. That's where it gets, that's where that religious platitude gets real, doesn't it? That struggle and suffering are at the center of life. Life equals suffering. So we can do two things with it. We can be defeated by it, or we can trust in God. And he begins with faith. Paul begins with faith. If you look back to that scripture that Bob read, he says, we have, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, it all begins by trusting in God that all is well and all will be well. And then we say, you know what? What was I to expect? Life is suffering. Life equals suffering. But out of this suffering, I will not be defeated, because in trusting in God through the power of the Holy Spirit, the same power that entered into the chaos at the beginning of time and has begun to form order and beauty and goodness and excellence and love in the world, I will not be defeated. I will follow that Spirit, and I will allow that Spirit to work wonders and goodness and glory in me and my suffering, so I will persevere. I will become durable. And in that durability, I will build character. I will be etched with the work of the Holy Spirit. And that builds hope. Because the next time the bad news happens, the next time the suffering happens, it's like, the Holy Spirit's got this. Holy Spirit, pour into me so that I might persevere and I might overcome and I might be a man of hope. But the Holy Spirit always looks for faith, because faith is the catalyst for the Holy Spirit to work. If the Holy Spirit is going to enter into your chaotic life and begin to create order and beauty and goodness and the long story, the long picture, the long view, then it's looking for faith. It's looking for someone who says, I trust that God, who brings order into the universe, will bring goodness and excellence and love into my life, even in the midst of my suffering. So a man of character, a person of hope, has the long view. A man of hope sees his role in the long history of his family. There's an image that people of native European spirituality, our European ancestors, if you have European heritage from many, many hundreds and hundreds of years ago, they had an understanding of suffering in this way. That we have a responsibility in our life as men, and picture an image of a man. Above us, we have a responsibility to God. God created us. There is a calling upon our lives. We're not here by accident. Below us, below our feet, is our responsibility to the earth, to the soil, to take care of the soil, to take care of the creatures that sustain us, to take care of the environment that sustains the creatures that sustain us. And then to the right and to the left are our brothers and sisters, our family, our neighbors, our friends. We practice a reciprocal caring. They care for us, we care for them. They called it frith. It was a responsibility in community, to family and community. But then diagonally, running from here to here, through the man, was a responsibility to one's ancestors and a responsibility to one's descendants, the ones who will follow. So there was this sense that man doesn't exist in the world only at this moment now and for himself, for his own desires, but he exists responsible to everything around him, and not only in time but transcending time, responsible to his ancestors who brought him here and gave him this opportunity, and to the ones who will follow him. That's the kind of responsibility that we're called to in life as men. But modern man is focused on this meism in life. Modern man is little more than a pitiable individual consumer. It's what can I get? What can I acquire? He's only interested in acquiring wealth and power, no matter what the cost, with no concern for God or neighbor or the earth. But in contrast, a man of hope will stand in a responsible relationship to all those around him. God and earth and neighbor and ancestors and descendants. You see, men, we're part of a community. We don't exist in this world just for ourselves. In the church, we call it the community of faith. And it transcends time. Men, you are responsible to God. You are responsible to your earth, to your brothers and sisters around you. But you're also responsible to those who brought you into this world and the ones who brought them into this world, the ones who struggled hard so that you might be here today and have what you have today. And then you, in turn, are responsible for those who will follow you. So it's all the more important that we learn to become a man of hope. Because the world and society and civilization stay together. They cohere only if society has men of hope and not men of defeat. Not the modern man of pitiable consumerism, but a man who sees himself as part of a community, a timeless community. But this is not the focus of so many men today. You know, our grandparents and previous generations, and I'll close with this, they had a more radical and honest understanding of reality. They understood that life is tough, but that doesn't mean that we bail out, or that we medicate, or we amuse ourselves to death, or that we make acquisition of more things the center of our hedonistic and selfish life. That wasn't the view of the world. They understood the equation that Paul laid out for us, that suffering and struggle make us stronger. We have no other choice. We should not run from it, but we should face it, because suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. And so men of hope can take this selfish and this destructive and this life-denying society, and we can make it what it once was. We can make it a society where men involve themselves in their families, where men involve themselves in their community. And there are so many service organizations, just to put it in terms of something simple and easy that we could involve ourselves in. There are so many service organizations that are dying to see men come to their doors so that they can begin to do the work that they're called to do. There are local clubs, maybe the Rotary Club, the Republican, the Democratic Party, the Optimist Club, local school groups, groups to feed the poor, to help the hungry. There's something for us to do in the church. See your pastor, by the way, if you need something to do in the church. I'm serious. There's much to do. Paul tells us to begin with faith and end with hope. And in between that is suffering and is struggle and is perseverance and is character building. And then that gives us hope to get out of our selfish modern man mentality and get into the community and begin rebuilding our neighborhoods and our communities into the world that they once were. And we can do that. It's not over yet. Things have are not what they were, but they can be something wonderful again. But it requires men to get serious about their families and about their communities. And we can do that if we're men of hope, because hope will create a beautiful picture of what the world can be. And it begins with faith, and it ends in hope. Let's pray together. Father, how beautiful are the feet on the hill of those who bring good news, says your prophet. And this morning we have such good news from your servant Paul, who says, yeah, life is tough, but look what happens if we persevere. Lord, make us men of hope. May our highest goal not be this modern consumeristic mentality of acquisition, but make us men of hope who build strong families, who pour themselves into their community, who desire to see the kingdom of God grow up in their midst. And as we do that work, we will give you praise, glory, honor, now and forever. Amen.